Hey guys, how are you?
My computer is acting really clunky right now. I'm hoping I don't have to restart, but I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you, Jason?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'll have to venture onto the snowy balcony to get some chives to go with my eggs.
Okay, so looks like Adam is sick today. Got Ian. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So we're just missing carrots, right? Oh, there he is. Hi, carrot.
Good morning.
Okay. Should we get started? Mallory, I don't know if there's anything specific you want to cover. Should we just go through the status updates and then maybe talk about other stuff? I don't know if there's anything else.
Yeah, I have a few support topics, but I think starting with status updates is great.
Okay, let's do that then. So Adam's sick. I did not get his updates regarding the ANSIP stuff. So not sure where he's at with that, but I'll reach out to him tomorrow. Other than that, there's been some reservoir work last week. As you guys might know, there's been a connection leak that kept us prevent that was preventing us from updating various systems for a long time, but it seems like we managed to nail it down. David is on this board. I don't know why. This, I guess, we can close maybe. Okay, how about so I feel like this has been done. I mean, I know that there's a repo with a workflow to test that reservoir dev instance. So maybe this can be closed. I'll just ask him, I guess. Okay. Yeah, this is still open. And last time we asked David, he didn't want to close that because there was some open buckets. Specifically this one, which has now been closed. And there was also, so I don't know, maybe this can be closed. No, I don't know. Do you know, Mallory, if there's any more changes needed to that tenant spreadsheet?
Well, we do still need to figure out how we're going to handle Trove suspensions and dates that they don't want to be active, which I don't know if we're going to add another sheet to this giant workbook or what. For Christmas, we're definitely going to need something in place for them to use that they can manage lending and non-lending periods. But I don't know if it has to be tied to this giant ticket or not.
Yeah,
He's
I would rather
he has
close this.
yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I asked him on the tickets. Hopefully, we can close it and then create dedicated tickets for the remaining work. Regarding that, yeah, so we talk about those calendar things, and we can I think we can start looking at that, especially if we want it done for Christmas. One thing that maybe is worth mentioning, I think Julie asked, was it last week? I think it was last week. It's a blur a little bit, but I think it was last week. She asked, there was an issue reported by Trove regarding some I think an institution that's been disabled via that spreadsheet after a request was created.
Right,
And
so
it
they were
still
already in the rota.
exactly. So I mean that's also something I think maybe that should inform that calendar thing to consider that at the point when we send the request, not at the point when we create the rota. So if you could throw it in there, because otherwise it's gonna be the same situation, right? That we create the rota and then the request might actually go out to the institution some days after the rota was created, especially if there was, you know, somebody else in the rota, like, you know, with the higher priority, and then that request took a while, you know, before they handled it and unfilled it, and only then it went to the next one, right? So that might be a couple of days. At that point, that might be the closing day. So I think we need to consider that not at the point when we create the rota, but at the point where we actually send it to the institution.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I need to circle back to those tickets. I remember David thinking that your proposed like format was outside of his capabilities. And I'm not sure if there's like a simpler way or if it's something that can, I don't know. I have to revisit that. Because I think he was kind of hesitant to take on the work that you had proposed in one of the DevOps tickets. So maybe we can chat about that a little bit more. I'll add the context of checking when the request is sent rather than just at the time of request creation. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, just drop that note so we don't forget. And if you have that comment from him, send it to me because maybe there's some clarification that's needed for David. I think we'll simplify the format as much as we can, but can be, you know, simpler than, you know, I mean, it needs to work. Okay,
Okay.
good.
I will. Thank
So,
you.
yeah, thank you. David, cover David. So I don't know, Mallory, if you want to, like, we have this with this just keeps on being open for months now. I mean, I don't know what's up with that. I think that we had some tickets that were supposed to, yeah, those ones here. The tickets that needed that Ramson's based environment for Tara or somebody else to review it, but this seems to be stuck. So I don't know, should we,
Yeah,
what should.
so David and Tara have been coming to Thursday meetings, and it sounded to me like that David knew what he needed to do next. I think he just got like delayed a little bit from his time away. But it's yeah. Oh, sorry, Jason. Oh, I thought you unmuted to say something, so I thought I talked over you.
Oh, no worries. That was just coffee beans. I'm just
All right.
unmuted because the mute button on this headset is not as accessible, slash doesn't exist.
Okay, but let's not worry about this. So I dropped in the notes, and then they're joining the Thursday meetings, Mallory, like every
Yes.
Thursday. Okay, good.
Yes.
So we'll just let's leave it until then. But Ian, you've got nothing, but I think we had, maybe we should have created a ticket for that. There was this one outstanding thing, which was the updates to Trove. Like we had those four tickets, four changes in the broker. And Mallory, I think you mentioned to me last week that it was deployed on. Yeah, I mean, I knew that it was deployed on test because I deployed it, but you mentioned that Trove was testing it, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping that they will get back to us this week and tell us that, either testing is great and we can update prod or if they discover anything not working as expected. But they let me know last week that the BAU team, the business as usual team or whatever their support team is like going through a restructure and a reorg, and so like they'd been doing a bunch of like cross training, and things are just not their normal, like, I don't know, their normal week. So they hadn't had a chance to do the testing yet.
Okay, I'll just create a ticket so we remember to do it. So once we get a go ahead from, I
Okay.
guess, you, Mallory,
Yep.
right? Waiting for droves. Just think. Mallory, we should update droves to match the proper version on dust. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but let's just make it match.
I think that I'm gonna in chat. I put a link to the tickets that the four tickets that we're asking them to test. That
That's
you
right. That's
created a
right.
filter or something for that. Oh shoot, I didn't send you the right thing. Hold on.
Yeah, I got it. I
Okay.
think you sent it over to me here. Yeah. Yeah, I'll just put the link in here. Yes. Sprint 19. I need to, yeah. Okay. So Ian, I'll just create a ticket. So yeah, but yeah, it needs to go ahead, right? Before we it can be done. Was there anything else, Ian, that we should talk about?
Yeah, I have like a bug or support issue I want to discuss. We can do it after the updates or now, whenever you
Okay.
guys want.
Okay, let's do it after. So just remind me, so we don't. Okay, Yanis isn't here, but I had a check-in with him on Friday. We already have a draft pull request for this patron request, API, and some state transitions. So this looks pretty good so far. There's some changes that I wanted him to do. So I guess he'll be working on it for the next couple of days. But generally, it looks pretty okay. So yeah, I think we're getting close to a place where this can be actually used. So so this is right now the requester side, actions and the state transitions. So the next step's gonna be the supplier side, and we also want to combine that with the unsub client that Adam's working on, right? So we have like the complete functionality similar to ModRS. So I think that's gonna take probably a couple more weeks, but I think sometime in December we should have like a working version, bare bones but working version. So
Wow,
I think
nice.
yeah, so it's moving nicely, but once we have it, Jason, we need to talk a little bit about the UI and sort of the yeah, porting those UIs over and other changes and so forth. So I'll think I'll try to maybe turn in one of those meetings to like a show and tell, so we can chat about this a bit more with Giannis and Adam around.
Yeah, I'd like to
Okay.
understand. You guys are built.
Yeah, for sure. So that's gonna be a good opportunity to kind of share the knowledge a little bit, and yeah, do some explanations. Okay, so that's for him, and this one, Mallory, we just wait for Trove to verify this, right? I don't think we did we.
Yeah, that's one of the ones captured in that list, I think.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. So I guess we just wait for it. I think the other ones we just closed. Maybe sort of we closed. Why did we close them? I guess because we.
Well, some of them I could test,
Oh, you could
or
test
that,
them. Yeah, that's
or
right.
I did test with Tim, but then that last one I sent to them to test since I hadn't had a chance to link up with Tim.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Jason, any updates?
Shortest version is still working on it. Longer version, I ran into a lot of issues. But I do have a extremely messed up repository that does actually list directory entries and populate the horrible list component. That search and sort query thing is so confusing. I forgot about how bad our UI stuff is. Ugh.
So you're enjoying the
Yes, it's wonderful.
working with stripes.
Love it, love it. Yeah, no, I don't look forward to doing the UIRS work either. I do hope we can find a UI developer at some point because, yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about carrot stick ads, but I was actually hoping that maybe carrot that you could work with Jason so that Jason doesn't just fight with this alone on his own. I don't know if that makes sense. Or if there or do we need to have like a maybe more concrete ticket or a
I
concrete
mean,
task?
no,
I'm happy to.
I need to clean it up
Sorry.
first.
Yeah. No, I mean,
Because like right now it's
I'm
just like a
happy to do that, but
disgusting mess.
I would like to get finished with the auth stuff before I change tacks.
Yeah.
So I want to discuss that today because there's some decisions that we need to make, and I think it probably needs to be determined
Okay.
together.
All right. Okay. So, Jason, anything we should discuss, or can we move on and talk about this authentication layer?
There's a couple little things that I would mention. It was not the bulk of the situation, but I did briefly consider that I know we were looking to go for speed over stuff, so I wasn't trying to actually make it use the OpenAPI spec to validate forms or anything like what I was talking about. But I thought we should at least use TypeScript as the base because that's a lot harder to retrofit later on. So I initially started looking into that, and I learned something that although Stripes has had TypeScript support for a couple of years and various modules like UI lists and UI calendar and some other stuff are fully TypeScript, it's actually only built to transpile modules in the Folio namespace. And so the packages we make for Reshare, of course, are in the project Reshare namespace. And won't get TypeScript, period. It's like not even gonna do it until we get some changes on the other end. So that kind of sucks.
But is it possible to have a pull request to extend it, like make it configurable or?
I could do that, but the general they're busily at work trying to fairly significantly re-architect the way modularity works in Stripes. And so it will be soon the case that modules will be expected to transpile themselves before packaging. And so they're like basically the support that I'd be trying to add to that would be almost immediately obsolete because that part won't even be handled by Stripe's Webpack anymore. It'll be something that your own packaging process will do. And we could just take that on. Like, so if we have some work on it, we could actually just have it transpile our module entirely, and then they can consume that. And there, I think, is a way to tell it that the module's already transpiled. But I didn't want, like, that already started to seem like, okay, this is going to be too much. And so at that point, I just dropped it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe wait until the dust settles on the on those
Exactly.
changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what I also did learn, a thing that took a bit more time was I ran into, as usual, some strange hassle setting up my Kubernetes thing because some version of, anyways, I think it was mod configuration decided that it needed a newer version, and I had to. But when I went to change it, I was like, you know what? I don't need my local dev environment because this directory UI is only talking to the directory service, and so it doesn't care about a copy anyways. I can set this up to it's just like a proxy where it sends everything to say east and then just the directory stuff to the local directory module, and now we don't have to actually run any local dev environment. And so that seemed fun and easier and like less of a hassle, so I thought. And it was this weird, you know, sometimes something turns into a scavenger hunt where it's like, oh yeah, this was almost as easy as I thought, except for this one thing. And then that one thing turns into another one thing. Yeah, it was like that. But now I have an Nginx config that you can use to proxy a single path for an Okapi. And that's handy if anyone needs that.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. I think we need to have maybe a session outside of this meeting, just focus on some technical aspects. It would not be a bad idea, I think, also to include Adam, because as I mentioned, he's been doing a little bit of React and he was open to the idea of doing it. A bit more of that for this project. Until we get more developers, I think that could be the approach. You know that some of the backend is also kind of spend a little bit of time on the front end.
Well, I appreciate you helping share the pain.
All right, guys, let's move on because we don't have much time. I actually have a meeting with Mike Gorell. I think regarding some SOC stuff, so I need to drop at the hub of half past 3. Okay, Kurt, let's talk about off.
Yeah, so the thing that I come up against with the auth is that when it comes to the entries, we talked about what permissions we define, and basically there's a concept of if you are the owner of a certain entry and you have the like the ins or I guess institution or whatever, you have the institution permission, right? That means you can edit and see the citizen information for your own institution. But the question is, how do we determine, based on the tenant header, I assume, which institution belongs to which header or which tenant, right? Because, there's no direct field that corresponds directly with whatever is coming through in the tenant. We could add like an HRID or a slug field to the entry, but even then there's the situation to where what's defined as a tenant doesn't always match what the HRID or what the ISO identifier is for a given institution. So usually it does, but not always.
Can we
So
just make it match that? Like, can we use the tenant ID as the HRID of the institution record?
I mean, we could going forward, but there are institutions currently that do not follow that.
Yeah, I did see that there was an HRID added to the directory mock. I'm not sure with the details though. All I could see is that Wayne authored the commit, so we could ask him, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
Like
just
maybe.
maybe if, yeah, I mean, for now, put like a placeholder in there and until we decide. You know, we you saw that in the broker we have like an expression that we use to match the tenants to the ISO. You could do something similar. Of course, it means that the whole thing needs to use the same sort of pattern, which is true for Trove. Maybe it's not always true, right? But if we can have at least one per consortium, and we discussed already that this is going to be like single consortium for now. So maybe use that same approach.
That we're using with the broker currently.
Yeah, because we do as like we have this authentication layer that is kind of like that. I mean, we don't have multi-tenancy in the broker, we just match the incoming request and the tenant header into the ISO, right? And then based on the ISO, we check, okay, are you allowed to view this transaction? Does it belong to you? If it doesn't, then we fail the request
And
with the
how are you determining the prefix for the ISO? Do you just have like a setting for the prefix or?
Well, we have this setting, right? Which is like this pattern. I mean, I can show you. BMP, my keyboard has went to sleep modes. What's this crazy setting? Tenants assemble. Pattern to map tenants to requester symbol when accessing the API bio copy. The tenant token is replaced by the exocopy tenant header value. An example would be actually easier to understand, but basically we do something like for Trove, we do this, right? So for Trove, we have something like AU tenants. So that's essentially the expression in Trove. Because in Trove, it happens so that the ISO is the same as like the bare bones, the partial ISO, that's the same as the tenant identifier. And it's not always going to be true, but it's at least a starting point. And then you can have an explicit setting, explicit field, like you said, like an HRID of some sort, right? That you can just set to match it. But
I think we'll need that anyways.
Yeah, we'll need that anyways, but I'm just saying that maybe for starters you could do it. I mean, yeah, this is sufficient for Trove, right? I mean, it's not going to be sufficient in other cases when the tenant ID is completely different.
All right, I can run with that for now.
Yeah, so check, just take
It'll
what we
work
have.
for stuff like Penn State or like Hennepin, like Mallory put in the chat, but yeah.
Oh, for sure. What did you, was there anything else to discuss regarding this?
No, that's all. I mean, that was the kind of the blocker that I hit right now, so I'll just go ahead and implement it this way and
Yeah,
get it working at least.
and just drop a note on the Slack channel for it. I mean, then we can take stuff like that right away, right? So it doesn't have to wait until the next meeting. So if anything else pops up, just drop a note,
Yeah, I mean
tag
it
me.
came up yesterday afternoon, so we kind of figured,
Okay.
okay, well we'll just talk about the meeting, but yeah.
Oh yeah, but just tag us so that we can, so this can get moving. And what about the exception? I think you and Mallory were gonna like look at it, or at least
Yeah.
discuss it.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Miller.
I was just gonna say, Kurt and I keep talking about this. Like, some of them I don't think are happening anymore, but I just need to verify. There's like one where it happened like one time, and so I just don't know like if they are, if we're kind of good to close them or not. But I need to just do one more check through the Trove channel. But go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, I was gonna say the only one that I know of that I really need to at this point go back and do some more testing on is the one with the SAC exception we're getting, because I do I now the you know before we didn't really know exactly what was causing it. I still don't know exactly what's causing it, but at least I've increased the logging to where I can actually see the file and the input that are failing together. So I was thinking maybe I could try to write some kind of test harness to run it offline so I can try to figure out where exactly what exactly is causing the illegal entity thing or whatever. But I haven't circled back to that yet.
Okay, yeah, because this one just keeps on occurring, right? On the channel, something about entity name must immediately follow the ampersand
Yeah.
and the reference. But it could it be just a bad configuration on Prout,
Well,
because you guys said.
that's the kind of thought that there's something to do with the configuration of the Jasper thing, which is why I added the extra logging so I could see which configuration file and which patron request was causing the problem together. So since we have that, we just need to kind of go back and see if we can, okay, let's run this Jasper thing against that file specifically and see what happens. But I haven't done that yet.
Okay. All right. And what about the other ones? Can those be closed? The array index out of bounds exception and yeah, I guess this one.
I want to say the array index out of bounds thing should be fixed at least in the, I don't know if it's been deployed to test, but it should at least be deployed to dev. I hope that one is gone now. The
Well, it
one
should have
that
been deployed to prod at this point, no? I mean that was the whole
when
point,
was the
wasn't it?
change?
I mean, long time ago, I think. I mean, we can check, but I don't see any git commits. I don't know if there was a git commit, but it was October 17th.
So probably not on prod. We haven't updated prod in some time. We could use an update though.
No, I'm sorry. On October 17th, you're saying Mallory was saying that it was still happening.
I want to
I'm
say
okay,
this is
Jim. Oh, I
related to
see.
the issue with the I think it was due to the fact that there was a non-thread safe usage of the one of the XML libraries that was fixed, but I think it's been so recent that it's not been deployed to project.
Would that also apply to all the existing versions and like ZFL and everybody else?
Probably. I found a number of times when they were when they when like they were reusing non-thread safe instances of objects. So I'm sure it would
Right.
to bite in other areas. It could just be this is a higher volume. So I mean it's like the kind of thing that wouldn't happen unless you have a certain number of processes running at the same time, but
So maybe it's just due to the sheer number of tenants that Trove has, because they don't circulate much. Like Minitext does way more, but maybe just the tenants are why we're
right,
seeing it more in Trove. It
possibly.
might be. I wonder if it's worth like searching the other logs to see if that's happening for Palissy and Minitext and others. And is it worth a backport? I don't know. Something to consider.
So what I'm seeing is that, yeah, so I'm seeing this one that Mallory mentioned here. This is the one and only occurrence I see on the Trove prod exceptions channel. There was nothing else after the 14th. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think this is one of those no news is good news kind of situations.
Yeah, it might be. But it is, if you, so, okay. I think we cannot have it open. We need to close it. So let's do some final investigation because this has been open for too long. So, say, we search for array index out of bounds on true dots.
Well, I need to be pro dev, right? Because we haven't, I mean, I don't think it's been deployed to prod yet, right?
Well, everything's been deployed. All those
No,
tickets were
no.
deployed to prod. So like there was nothing new I think you made that was not deployed. Unless you made some changes, but I don't think there was anything.
I thought we did all of the like trying to handle the exceptions when we last updated prod.
Exactly.
I want to say that was like early October. How does
You
that
made
seem
some
so long
changes.
ago?
Okay.
Yeah, it does feel a long time.
So this is what we're running the latest release on. So right, Ian, RC16. That's what we're running.
So
Just barely. So
that should be.
that's
I made a
in
fix
September.
to the marshaller on October 6th. Have we deployed
Yeah.
since then?
No, we haven't.
No.
So there will not nothing after the release. But what was this related to? This comment.
So this was related to we were getting an we were getting this error, and it was traced back to the fact that that this when it creates a confirmation message, it creates this marshaller object, and you're not supposed to reuse them across threads. So we needed to make sure that it creates one per thread, which quite possibly was causing one of the exceptions. I don't know exactly which one it was, though, off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, okay. So let's be clear about this because nobody knows about stuff like that. Okay. So, if, it goes and says, might have been fixed with, if so, we may need a new macOS release. Okay, so but you, what you did is that you made those changes and this was deployed to dev, right? October 27 is the last deployment by Ian. So let's see if we search on dev, just wanna see. But we don't have a channel for dev, do we? We have just for test and prod.
That's right.
Okay, so we don't know. Somebody would. So Ian, maybe you could take a.
Sure.
Yeah, just like try to grab, see if there's anything.
I mean, yeah, okay. I don't know if
So
this has
this
ever
is.
come up on dev, but yeah.
So this is throwing an exception based on parsing or like non-thread safe parsing of the XML of the isolating 66 messages.
That is correct,
As
yes.
so potentially the one of the effects of this is that it would be like silently dropping. It just wouldn't end up receiving a message.
It would, I mean, it would throw an error for sure, but yeah, it would return a 500 when a message comes in because it was not able to generate a confirmation message to send back.
Yeah, so guys, I mean, they come in clusters, those exceptions, it seems like. So if we take a look at this, October 13th one, let me share my screen. Let's see if I can share it. Then you can see here that we've got this broker error, failed to send message. So something got fucked up. And then we have this external API controller. Yeah, like probably reporting the 500 error for 100 error. And then we have this index out of bounds when it tries to create the sucks parse exception. But that's no, that's useless. That's some sort of helper method. But basically, it looks like, yeah, it looks like it is in this external API controller when it tries to marshal the message. So it does seem like this could help, right? The fix you make, Kurt, that this addresses it.
Possibly. It's hard to say. But yeah.
Okay.
But it's like, is this something that we should consider backporting?
Well, we had much more we had a lot of occurrences of this before September 20th, 30th, which is I think when Ian updated Trove to like around the time Ian updated Trove to RC16, right? So before it was just madness. It was a lot of those exceptions. But since then, it's been only one. So whatever you did previously also helped, Kurt, right? I mean, so maybe it was a multiple. Let's actually take a look at some of those old ones. Was it also like this?
I found that there was more than one instance where I had where we had Marshallers or a similar
There was
objects that
another, yeah,
were
exactly.
not
There was
thread
another
safe and had.
object which was like document builder or something like that, which was used in a unsafe manner. So, and both of them were kind of around the time when the message is getting marshaled or serialized. And you fixed one. For sure you fixed one before. So
Yeah, and
maybe this is the
I've had to do it at
less.
least twice, so yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not, so maybe let's not spend more time on it before we actually get this deployed. But it's also not extremely critical because I like it really literally happened once. So Ian, maybe it can just wait until the next release. It's not like you need to make a release for this one.
Okay.
But I'm gonna close this just so we know that something has been done here. And I'll just put a comment closing. We hope that let's address the remaining issue occurrences on the phone. So this can wait until RC17. Whatever that comes, right? But I think let's not worry about this now. It's very seldom we have we think we have a fix or something that it looks like a fix. Remind me, Kurt, this one you needed to investigate, right? Because that those keep on happening. Yeah.
Which one are you referring to?
The XML, the SUGS exception. Which
The
were, I
one
don't
with the Jasper one?
know. I mean, I
Yeah, I
do
mean
know that.
the one that needs I need to that I still need to investigate is the one with the Jasper and the bad entity one that's coming up if you keep on saying.
But is that the one that SUGS exception will invalidate the incoming message?
No, that is the
No, this
one
was
that's.
that was fixed. That was your change with the document builder, right?
Yes, hopefully.
Fuck. Okay, let's close them. We'll just keep on reopening because I like we're losing tracks. Okay, so this Jasper thing that we want to reopen.
Yes.
There. Still, exceptions like on roads. So, Kurt is going to edit the road. All right. Let's do something about this or close this one too if we cannot. Just for formatting XML exceptions. And this one was the big epic. I'm just gonna close this because this is just showing up here. Okay, good.
Yeah, have you have your window on the Slack channel as
Oh
well so
shit,
that you
sorry
can go?
guys. So what I
Sorry.
did was I reopened this one, left you a note here.
Okay.
It's still happening. So this needs to be investigated. So this is still happening on prods. And I closed this one here with the array index out of bounds with the comments that we think that we address the remaining occurrences of this one with this commit. But it's just too infrequent to worry about this now. Like we literally had one exception since RC16, so. So I think this can wait. It will just get, updated at some point. Okay.
Okay. Can we talk about that
Guys.
issue that I or you have more to do on the board?
Yeah. Let me just see. So, where is that? Top, bottom. Yeah, and where's the ticket that you want to talk about?
It's in the Zoom chat or in the Reshare Dev channel. Both would be fine.
Okay, in the Zoom chat. All right, I'm just gonna open this. Okay.
Basically, this is an issue that was supported on Trove. I got a support ticket because it looks really ugly in the UI. All this, and they're basically like, "Why is this happening?" But if you look at the logs on the, if you scroll down and look at the logs on the events,
This one?
no, I should have put it in a comment there. What's
Oh,
the
broken
latest?
transaction log here.
Nah, events log.
Events log, okay.
And search for I don't know, 500, I guess. Search for error.
Is this the one you mentioned with the isolated
Yep, there it
266
is.
endpoint?
Yeah. So there's kind of a weird thing here. Keep going. Another one. Next error. There it is. Okay. Yeah, that
Here,
stack trace there. Scroll up. Yep. Up. Okay. So it says, failed to do whatever it was trying to do in that external API controller, basically, but it's saying could not resolve view with name ISO 1866. And I'm trying to figure out what the heck that's about. One thing I noticed when I was just talking to the chatbots and whatever is that there seems to be like an extra thing in the URL mappings that's pointing to like an ISO 1866 controller that doesn't exist. I'm wondering if we should look at that or if anyone can help me. I guess I'm feeling a little, I'm not sure what to do with this one.
Well, this usually happens when there is an exception. So that's sort of related to what we just discussed.
Right, same place.
Yeah. So like it just dies with this cryptic bullshit message that
Yeah.
helps nobody when there is like any exception when trying to render that view.
Yeah, well, the
Yeah.
thing, so the issue is that there, like, so until the fix that I made on October 7th, there was no handler for a 500 error in the external API handler thing. So anytime something would happen that would cause a 500, you would get this error saying that there was no handler configured or whatever. So it would kind of mask whatever error you were having, and the fact that there was no 500 Okay,
handler.
so I need to get an update out. So yeah, so the part of the fix that I made was to actually allow it to handle 500s, hopefully. But then we still have to deal with whatever the underlying error is that's causing the 500. Okay. So in order to finish this one, I need to deploy, right, to prod because I can't really debug this. It's just a kind of
Yeah, it
a.
just, well, you should see something in the logs though, because this is just the response. But if you look at the Mother OS logs, maybe you can actually see the actual
But error came out there.
breakage. But hold on, because this crap that happens on September 29, this first error, right? So like we should not worry about this anymore because this is ancient. But I see that there's more errors further down, which is probably what they want from you now, right? Could not send request to peer. Okay. Message requester. There's way more errors down.
Yeah. So I guess it's this message confirmation error that's showing up in the UI.
Because the requester is Alma here. Maybe they just removed the request or something, because I can see that those messages don't even go through, you know? Like the but we don't know like why. I mean, there's just some error that Alma returns. It's not clear. Because they are trying to do what they're this is from the supplier. Yeah, this must be the supplier. Right. I mean, I don't know what's up here, but that fix the won't help you, because this is like no messages are going through. Like they can see, you know, Jason made it more visible, right? Because this error sending message, that's new. That's gonna show where the message is not delivered. But like it's not only notification, it's any message basically that's not getting through. I can see here that Alma just errors out. You know, maybe they removed that request on their end or something. Like, you know, but
Or
you can
like
see that.
closed it or something, because if it was closed, they wouldn't be able to get messages either, right?
Exactly, yeah. So, but it doesn't look like there's
So
any problem on our end, you know, like
why? Okay.
from what I can tell here. I mean, I'm talking stuff that is further down the log, right? I'm not
Sure.
talking about the stuff from the September 29.
Right, I understand, but so when someone closes or deletes or whatever, when they request an Alma, we just are in an infinite error state, or is there some sort of communication that's supposed to happen? Like, hey, we close this and you should also close it or whatever.
They should be, you know, if they're closing it, they should send like a cancellation or something, not just like consider it closed. But let's see what happened here. So we start having some notifications, and then those notifications were already erroring out. I can see that. But just before that, okay, it tried to create. So somebody unfilled one of those. Then it selected another supplier.
Badly formed message up there.
Yeah. But we don't know why. I mean, it's like, we don't know. The message wasn't sent, you know? And then it selected then, but that happened during, well, it doesn't matter. Like it got this message. It got this message about something being unfilled by the
Unavailable.
supplier. It tried to message the requester. It couldn't. Maybe it was a bug because it was, oh, it's on the 15th, so it could, maybe it wasn't a bug. But stuff has changed since then anyway, because like this message would be just forwarded straight up. That's the update that you're working on right now, because before it wasn't it wasn't proxying, you know, the unfilled messages, but that's been changed in that last commit. So that would
That's the
not
update to
be
the broker that we're waiting to deploy.
exactly
Okay.
because
All
you
right.
see it like here it got unfilled from the supplier. It tried to message the requester, but then it couldn't. I guess it was maybe some sort of bug or some weird
In
situation
our software then, though, right?
in our software. And then it just selected the next supplier, VSL, I think is the one that you're looking at right now. So like this is not even relevant, because like we're already here
I don't.
with VSL. And then VSL got a new request. Yeah, we got this request. And then VSL tried to notify.
Okay, I
And
see
that
what
was
it's.
already giving an error.
Okay. Back from Alma here, but
Yeah, back from Alma. Maybe it's just like the state in of the request on the Alma side is weird because why would it complain about notifications? Like you can send notification in any state pretty much. Ask them if they can verify, like, what is the state of that request on the Alma side? Is that request still open? Like what is that? What is the status of that request? Okay. Yeah.
Is there any
That
chance
change.
someone just misconfigured the URL? Like if they're just if instead of their instead of pointing in the directory mock and spreadsheet thingy, whatever, they just have it at slash ISO 8266 instead of slash external API slash ISO 8266? Like, could they just be hitting that controller that do we even know what that is
No,
even for?
I was wondering about that controller. It doesn't seem to have
Yeah,
that control. There's no controller there, but there's a URL mapping for it. But anyway, that's maybe neither here nor there, but
I think
interesting.
that's a red herring, Ian.
Okay.
So that fix that Kurt made, I mean, it would be good to get it out. But I also don't think it's that as important. You know, it's not important enough for you to start making the whole release unless you have time for it and just want to get it out. Otherwise, I would say let's just, you know, wait until we have more stuff. And
There's a UI change for Trove that Mallory brought to my attention.
yeah, exactly. But it's a
For
different project.
example.
But this for this one, yeah. Let me just leave you a note here.
Guess I just don't like this kind of ticket. Let's like account for this. And it's like I don't know what's going on here. I gotta figure out a better way to follow these, but
Yeah, that's what we're seeing right now. I mean, I can't say about the previous ones, but now everything seems okay. It just can't deliver. Okay, guys, oops. All right, guys, I need to drop. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Oh, well, yeah, Mallory said that I should follow up on the Tuesday call about the UI issue that she emailed me about.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly the
Okay.
ticket.
Let's open that up.
It
That's a
was.
240, I think. Let me drop it into the 240. Here. Let's refresh. Okay, and you managed to reproduce this?
Yeah,
Yeah, I can see.
the yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Jason.
I can see why it's happening, and I've got a fix for it.
Good.
So should I just put that to the main branch of UIRS and
Yeah, I think so. Is that any problems doing that or?
I just wonder if there's like where we need to backport it to or anything,
I mean,
or it's
Trove is
just
running on
Trove.
master branch, so
Right,
that's
yeah.
where it's going.
Well, I thought we maybe do we have it? We don't have a release branch for them, or we're just tagging the releases straight off master. I can't even remember at this point. I think there's
Yeah.
maybe a 219, a 219
Straight up.
branch.
Straight up mastering.
Okay,
Right,
well, there you
and
go.
I think that's what we were doing. Okay, so I just assigned that to you, and I guess we want to put in the sprints. Yeah, it is in the sprint. Good. Anything else?
Jakob, I have two, I think, broker support tickets I created because I wasn't sure if you for sure wanted to implement them. But I'll ping you about those. We if you don't want to if you need to get going. One's about
Okay.
like flexibility around accept and reject from Alma, and then there's a rota building question that I'm not sure if it worked as expected. So, but I'll send you another message about those, and we can revisit on Thursday. I don't think they're an emergency.
Okay. Yeah, drop me a link today. I'll look at them later, and then I'll ask
Okay.
you probably some questions, okay, sounds good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, so.
Thanks, Sarah.
Bye bye, everyone.